gotta wonder if it's worth it to go where the cocaine runs. There's the White House balling people with cocaine. The chief of the CIA stands there holding the reins. He knows his agents well, and he knows just what to do to keep his eyes on me and to keep his eyes on you. Cocaine. Cocaine train.
FreakRadio.org, Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, and we're live in the studio on, what the hell is the day?
It's the 2nd
of August. 2011, so this is live stuff, not the downloads or old shows. We got a couple guests in the studio. Their aliases are Sasha and Nito. I'm going to talk about anarchism and, I guess, Chavez, some local news.
Yeah.
So, you guys, were you both living there?
Yeah.
Yeah, about the last 2.5 years or something like that.
So what happened? Why did they kick you out? I know who kicked you out, anyways.
It's a long, long, long story. It's about, like, 15 years of bad blood or something like that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Well, it's just, like, it's a combination of a lot of different things. Rent and like lack of autonomy, lots of poor communication between this larger structure that was like a national structure for co-ops, mm-hmm. and then the small independent, like supposedly autonomous co-ops that thought that they owned their properties, but they actually were a part of the system that kept refinancing their mortgages in order to pay for other things around the country, which seemed like a
so
really...
No, they don't own it either. The banks own where you're staying.
Right, exactly.
It's been there forever. Mm. It should have been paid off, but they've been taking out more loans to, what, blow it on cocaine?
Well, just, just like develop like more co-ops within like the nation.
Oh, so they're just expanding then.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's not too bad. I mean, if it's... But...
Well, the issue is that it's like... There's no, it doesn't seem like there's a sustainable way that they're trying to expand. It's also like they're buying these houses that are falling apart, and they're like, they're just basically balancing this house of cards against each other. Like every house in the system is like continually being refinanced to pay for like these giant maintenance things across the country.
Man.
And then there's not enough like, there's not enough really good communication or cross skill sharing between all the co-ops so that they actually like can say like, yeah, I feel good about funding this new roof in wherever, like Kalamazoo.
So there's a contract involved, right?
I mean, like, not in
I mean,
the
how
past.
They can only kick you out if there's a contract.
Yeah,
there was a lease.
At this point, there is a lease.
Okay.
There was a lease, right?
Yeah. They just decided to not renew it in comparison to, like, evicting.
So now we got a house sitting empty. Nobody's being housed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
except for the
like
possible squatters we don't talk about.
Yeah. Well, they just changed the locks recently, and they're trying to sell the place. They've also been doing a really poor job of keeping anyone who formerly lived in the house in the loop as to what was going on, probably for the reason of like keeping people out of the house as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So
basically, you thought it was a big, giant collective. Everybody had an equal share.
Shared equity. That was my idea.
But instead, somebody, you know, in another state has been ripping you off to expand and repair other stuff.
Partially. I mean, I wouldn't say it's, like, wholly malicious, but there was a lack of...
You didn't have a say, essentially.
At that point, no.
No.
No, it was kind of, like, on top of, like, 15 years of just, like, really just...
Neighborhood issues, like, neighbor issues that... Instead of coming to the co-ops or the co-ops going to the neighbors, it became like the intermediary had to become like the national, the NASCO, so North American Student Cooperative, mm-hmm. Students of Cooperation. So they started acting as a landlord. They were the intermediary between the neighbors. They were the ones who had to step in when big maintenance things came up. They're the ones who had to lay down the law when there was like internal, like structural issues.
So this is like... I mean, you guys are anarchists, I assume. This is like a hierarchy, then. There's some group out there, I don't know who, but
I mean, they never claimed to be an anarchist organization, and certainly not everyone within the Chavez co-op was an anarchist.
Yeah.
Some, yes, and they were hoping that it would be a little, I don't know. When I moved in, and a lot of other people were under the impression that the "We Own It" slogan of NASCAR really meant that, like, when you pay your $50 lifetime membership, you're part of this large shared equity project that was going to be a part of, like, your life in some way for a long time. But it just seems like there was, but on both sides of the ball, a lack of human connection as to, like, our livelihood was tied to the livelihoods of these people. However, they were in their business offices and moved out of co-ops a long time ago and were currently, like, struggling to, like, pay for this exorbitant rent and, like, fix things within our house.
So, but, I mean, you, Chavez membership turns over, right? After every 4 years or so, because mainly for students, there's new people in generally.
All the time.
How about at the top of the, you know, NASCAR? Where is that? Who's running that?
Well, there are people who are staff members, and they're there all the time. They've been there for a few years or longer. There are
like
people
over a decade.
Yeah, Jim Jones has been there for, like, since the inception of NASCAR, and he was involved in the cooperative, like,
gosh,
movement.
I thought he died giving away poison Kool-Aid.
Different Jim Jones.
But still, kind of the same kind of a...
kind of still culty.
You get screwed in the end, you
know? Still kind of culty, no Kool-Aid involved, though. But, yeah,
well, that's
and
not
then also, like,
either.
There is a board that's made up of, like, co-op members from around the country that fly in.
and who pays for those airplane tickets?
NASCAR.
Your rent.
Right, exactly. The administrative, like, rent.
That's the thing. When somebody's playing around with other people's money, you know, all of a sudden, no, we're eating great food, we're flying on planes, and, oh, guess everything, we're
broke
now.
Where is it coming from?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I couldn't have afforded the plane ticket out there anyway because I was paying so damn much money for, like, living in a tent outside of Chavez. I didn't even have enough money to live in a tent.
Rent
on the same...
To live in a tent? How much was your rent for a tent?
It was like $230 or something like that.
Yeah. I guess you had a bathroom. It's not too bad. I'm paying $300 for couch surfing.
Right.
Not too bad. Like, how many? Were you the only one in the tent?
No.
How many people were in the backyard?
Well, I was actually up on a porch. I was up on a secret porch.
Yeah, I think at the most, there were like... 7 or 8.
Oh, then you're violating the city ordinance that only allows, like, one person in the backyard or something.
Yeah, and I'm sure NASCAR will as well, but...
Yeah.
We were also trying to lower rent for
everyone
else.
Oh, that's... Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, collectivizing
that's
and more work.
That's a true communal-type arrangement.
Yeah, and also more hands to help around the house, because Lord knows there were, like, so many students there who couldn't do a lot of, like, the labor-intensive stuff, like, the time-intensive stuff, that it was always helpful to have more people around the house that were either, like, traveling through or couldn't be there for long-term or couldn't sign a lease or couldn't get into a room. At least they, like... It was almost like a work trade. To a certain extent, like, maybe not official, but it was...
They do that at Free Radio. If you want to come in and do downloads at 7 in the morning, you can get, you know, a half-hour show.
Ooh, maybe.
Per day.
Maybe. Nice.
I don't know. We'll see. People want that democracy now, so there's a...
Apparently.
There's people in the collective that want it, but then, you know, not... they don't all want to download it. They want the whole collective.
Not everyone wants to wake up that early.
Nobody wants to wake up that early. So we're having a issue.
Democracy sleeps in.
That's right.
Democracy later, not now.
I don't really care. You know, to me, the Free Radio is more interesting when who knows what's going to be on. You know, because it's just I'm opposed to rules. I like to break them.
Yeah, a little bit more like just chance.
So they're trying to sell. When did they buy the house? 15 years ago.
They bought the house in like 1992.
Well, then there's probably some equity in it if they haven't borrowed much.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys got burned for that.
Pretty much.
What I wonder in the end. In the end, if they kick all the students out, sell all the houses, somebody can walk away with a whole bunch of money.
Yeah, millions, if they wanted to.
And there's no way to stop them. I mean, that's what I'm wondering. Was there a contract? If there's some kind of contract that says everyone is a collective, then you can sue somebody about it and get your money back.
Well, we actually did have a lawyer who looked at it and said that it was pretty legitimate because it wasn't breaking anything. It just wasn't renewing our stay there.
Mm. It was basically in the they claimed you were a part owner, but in the contract it said you're just a renter.
Well, partially one of the worst parts about the whole thing that I'm probably most bitter about is specifically the aspect where they put everyone on a 6-month lease, an individual lease, instead of giving the actual, like, nonprofit Santa Cruz Student Housing Cooperative
your own personal collective,
yeah, to then give out leases and then manage those leases. They individually gave each person a lease so they could track who was and wasn't paying, for more accountability. But on top of that, they also kind of put on some, like, stipulations, like, you need to do this, this, and this, and then we'll consider putting you back on this more independent, autonomous kind of lease program. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, like, when you talk about autonomy and leases, it's like, mm-hmm. you can only go so far. But the worst part was that most of the stipulations were well taken care of. Like, the summer was going to be full. There would be no vacancies. They would be making money throughout the summer and into the fall with a wait list. The house was running. It was running. Maybe not mm-hmm. as smooth as it could have, but it was running, as well as there was, like, generally, like, some positive attitudes towards what was happening. And then that's why we had this event, which was, I don't know if you heard about this, it was a graffiti art show.
I heard that somebody had been painting the walls black, and that kind of made your landlord a little upset, and then there was a graffiti show that was, like, the last straw or something, and they got all upset. That's what I heard.
I don't remember anything being painted black.
Yeah, no, nothing was painted black.
See, but that's the trouble with gossip. You never get the right story.
Yeah, telephone.
So it was the graffiti thing then. That
apparently that was the straw.
How'd they find out about it?
It was all... Well, you could see it from the...
yeah, but they
see from the street.
Did they fly... They could see it from the plane as they flew in. I mean, how do they know?
It was our neighbors. It was actually our, like, neighbors.
Oh, their neighbors ratted you off directly to the upper echelon.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah. And the neighbors just wanted to get rid of you because...
Not all of them. Actually, and funny enough, the neighbor that was immediately upset at the artwork, as well as... Well, they were more pissed because someone had painted on their fence that they had paid for, their $7,000 fence.
Yeah. 6 inches on their property line.
Uh-oh.
Which is... I think the bummer is that if they would have just directly came to us and, like, what the fuck? You painted on our fence. Paint over it. Or, like, give me the $7,000 to replace the fence or something like that. People painted over the fence, and it looks good as new, and then the neighbor basically just walked away and was like, I don't give a flying fuck now, because they had painted over it. If they would have just come to Chavez and asked to, like, have it, like, taken care of, it probably could have gotten taken care of, and everyone would be better off for it. But because this structure of NASCO got in the way as, like, a sort of landlord...
They are, yeah.
They essentially thought that that was the only way that anything was going to get done. There just wasn't enough, like, good neighbor relations, really.
Well, this guy right now is also trying to, like, milk the house out of his, like, much money right now.
His neighbor?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Really?
He's asking, like, get the fence replaced, and he's actually, like, looking into buying it. And
buying Chavez's house?
Yeah. After it was all up.
Wow. Well,
he probably sees it. Oh, these are a bunch of, you know, students don't get the true value. I'm gonna scoop it.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, it's probably, like, over, especially in, like, Santa Cruz's really insular, like, housing market. It's probably worth, like, over $1 million.
How many people were living there? It
30, 17 rooms.
Yeah, so 17 rooms. Yeah, it's worth probably $1 million.
And it's an old Victorian, like, late 1890s.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, and they're putting in a new hotel in that area, in the Beach Flats area. Oh, that'll cause everyone's land value to go up.
Yeah.
As well as fucking you on traffic, but this general living area.
I don't know. It's going to cost so much money to clean that house up, though. There are so many things, which is, like, part of another really disappointing, bitter part for me, is that, like, there were so many things that could have been fixed to make that house, like, even more well-functioning, like mold issues, structural issues, water damage. The place needed to be, like, repainted, like, there's so many things, and generally, like, cleaned in general, and it was, like, because, so this is what I was getting to, instead of them being, like, landlords and saying, you have 90 days to get out because we're pissed and we're evicting you, have 90 days renters' rights.
Right.
Instead of doing that, they're like, well, it's more convenient to just say, the lease is up in 2.5 weeks, so we're not renewing it, so get the fuck out in 2.5 weeks. So the place was
It doesn't work that way. I mean, they have to do... I mean, if you've been there long enough, you get, like, I think it's 30 or 60 days or something.
Yeah, that I was under the impression that...
And they have to do an unlawful detainer and, you know, the whole thing, yeah.
I was under the same impression, but they pretty much pulled the wool over most people's eyes and just said, like, you need to be out when the lease is up.
Yeah.
Which does not sound legal to me, nor does
that's
it sound
That's why it pays,
like,
to know the law, you know, because you're always going to get screwed otherwise. Because they got a lawyer. They're taking your money, rent money, to hire a fancy lawyer to tell them how to, you know.
Yeah, to get you out of your house.
Yeah. Yeah, that's bullshit. You can't just be kicked out of your house that easily.
No.
It has to go through a court thing, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, what's done is done. The locks are changed. There was definitely no resistance whatsoever. There was, like, a few people who, you know, played around with the idea of squatting, but then that would be putting other people within the housing cooperative's, like, upper structure, like the board members, at, like, legal risk, because they would take the brunt of whatever happened. So it was like, we cared enough about other people in our...
They don't seem to care about you.
They don't give a flying fuck at all. Well, it's not... No, I mean, the board, as in, like, the people that were a part of the house, and, like...
You mean your local... You didn't want
the
to
the local, like, basically the liaisons between our house and, like, the bigger structure, and just people who were, like, were elected consensus, like, on a consensus basis up into this board structure that kind of managed things within the just Zami and Chavez.
Mm-hmm.
Those people were, like, the direct representatives, and we all consensed on them to be there. So they would be the ones who would be taking the legal brunt if any individual person tried to squat and got, like...
Hmm.
So they basically started using our own members against us. Mm-hmm.
Divide and conquer, that's usually the oppressor's way. Yeah. But, you know, we can turn that around and use it against the oppressor, too.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, yeah, I hear Zombie's actually going to have an inspection soon by the same folks.
Yep. NASCO will be here on Thursday.
You mean in Santa Cruz?
In Santa Cruz, yeah.
And they're flying in. How many people are flying in?
Just one, I believe. It's a one-man army, Daniel.
Daniel? Does he fly first class? They don't tell you, probably.
Yes.
And that's all deductible as a business expense.
Mm-hmm. Tax deductible.
Does that include hookers?
In Santa Cruz, probably. Who knows? I don't know, man. It's just like I've... Other people retain their faith, but I've lost my faith in the NASCO structure, at least the NASCO property structure, because, like I said, it's a house of cards, and it doesn't really create any kind of autonomy. It kind of, like, links all of these people into this big... It's like, it feels like a pyramid scheme, and everyone kind of has,
it,
like...
It does sound like that, because if they re-borrow the money, there's no equity, really. It just keeps pushed to somewhere else.
Yeah, it feels like we're racing... All of these co-ops are racing for independence and autonomy and, like, to get a leg up and to feel independent and to, like, pay off their old debts. Because we're also talking about co-ops that have been around for 15, 20 years. And so they just have this debt. I think there's someone at the door.
Yeah, I'm probably my co-host.
Okay.
Keep going.
Well, anyways, so you've got all of these different co-ops throughout the country who are probably, like, 15 to 20 years old. And they're all trying to race and pay back that debt, but they're all tied together. It's like their shoelaces are all tied together because they've got this, like, long-standing history of, like, their houses being refinanced. Maybe 10 years ago they had a really bad time for vacancies, and now they have, like, a couple thousand dollars in debt, and it's like you basically inherit all of this debt. It's like a microcosmic. Yeah. It's like there's no way that you could call that shared equity. That's more like shared debt.
Yeah, it's shared liability.
Right.
Man, because it's like 15, you can get a 15-year mortgage, and then it's free and clear, and it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
And how much were you guys paying total per month?
$11,000.
$11,000. So that's like, you know, 100 and something, 120 something a year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
for 15 years.
Longer than that.
That's well over $1 million.
1992 until 2011.
Well, yeah. Yeah,
you may have a lawsuit here. I mean, you know, I don't. I mean, I would get all the paperwork you can, and see if there's. I mean, not just you, but every single person from 92 has some kind of equity there. I would think, unless
right?
it specifically says otherwise, or you've been defrauded, like in a Ponzi scheme or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who's to say? I mean, there was specifically everyone signs and pays a $50 membership fee that gets you into this, like, North American Students of Cooperation family, and supposedly it gives you lifetime membership. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, it's kind of like buying in as an investor to a certain... So, like, you are a part of this collective for life. So under that guise, then I guess you should have much more, like, legal right.
I studied the law in my spare time. If you can come across those contracts, I'd be happy to look at them.
Totally. Cool.
Because a friend of mine just got screwed on fucking unemployment because he didn't fight it. You know, to me it looks like it's a real easy win because he had a physical disability. And I mean, he can even sue the EDD. But a lot of people just, they don't want to deal with the hassle because the courts take for fucking ever. So that's how they win, is they just grind you down.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It felt like there was, I mean, obviously I wasn't, a huge
You had to sign
part.
Some. Somebody signed a contract somewhere.
Oh yeah, yeah. And people signed leases too. Yeah.
Well, lease is just a rental agreement. Right. But it sounds like you're a member of the collective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a contract you have to sign as you're entering the house, and then that gives you like the lifetime membership as mm-hmm. well.
Well, then you can all vote and throw out the board, right? Mm. You're still lifetime members. You get together enough votes, you can fire the board, I imagine. I mean, that's how a corporation works.
Yeah, I don't think... Yeah, as far as I know, lifetime membership means lifetime membership, even if you are dissolved by this larger corporation. Like, who's mm-hmm. to say that you don't still have membership?
You're still a member of that corporation. Yeah. You could get your proxies out and take it back.
It can be funny and sticky if folks sued NASCO for enough money to buy a house. And then we're just like, oh, hey, now we're a cooperative again. You guys want to work together?
That's right. But I'll bet you somebody's squirreling away money. I mean, whenever there's free money out there that's not really being watched all that carefully, somebody comes in and takes it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there is probably like a huge, real, real stormy rainy day fund in the NASCO universe for when all
maybe,
of their co-ops
yeah.
like dissolve at the same time or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, somebody could just be embezzled.
Or like insurance. Yeah, and that could be true as well.
Yeah, I bet there's a crime being committed by somebody up there on the board. I would definitely look. I mean, I don't take shit off people, you know, generally. Mm-hmm. I mean, I let them beat them up because I'm a pacifist. I mean, I won't fight back generally, but mm-hmm. legally, I love to fight back.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm becoming less and less trustful of people that are supposedly good-willed and altruistic. After this,
that's no, and charming people. I never trust charming
people.
Oh,
God.
Yeah. They're the worst.
Cool, we got a few more minutes. Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time because we're switching our schedule around and a show going on.
It's no worries.
Who's
coming in after this?
Well, it's just a can show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's Coral's can show. She knows the guy who produces it. So awesome. No one has to download it but Coral. We're not asking the collective to download it anymore. She's going to handle it.
Right on.
So, gosh, I talked to you about anarchism the other day. I wanted to go into that some a little bit.
I'd be down to come back another time and talk about something else.
Sure, sure. Are you an anarchist?
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, I'm kind of tired.
Tired anarchist.
You know, day of tomorrow, 5 o'clock meeting at the Sub Rosa on anti-cop stuff.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the was it? It's community safety workshop.
Well, yeah,
right?
They got to give it a nice
police,
name, but essentially
community safety workshop / police obsolescence, because they definitely go hand in hand.
Yeah, you don't. That the police only protect property and the wealthy; they mm-hmm. harass everyone else.
It's true.
Yeah. That's because that's where they're hired from. Well, I consider them hired thugs. It's an anarchist thing to be against the police. I'm against the police bosses and bosses behind them. Because they're just really hired thugs. The way to deal with them is turn them into fired thugs, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Not to fucking fight them directly, because they got all the advantage there and the law's on their side. You should never, never, ever get involved in a violent confrontation with a police officer.
Doesn't, yeah, and it doesn't seem that coincidental that, like, all of the money that's been floating around, like, the upper class more than ever lately with the whole Ponzi schemes going on, as well as, like, the econopocalypse, like, the police budgets in the U.S. have gone up, like, mm-hmm. threefold in almost every city.
Yeah, there's a DVD called Life in Debt. About Jamaica and how they, you know, the IMF gets them all hooked on debt, and then they fuck their local industries and stuff, so they're just hooked on, you know, milk
and
from
people
here.
People are pissed,
so
and
they're
then
all
they start
debt.
Looting.
Yeah. and then so the only growth industry is their like private security and dogs and stuff.
Exactly.
Because you're starving at that point, you don't care, so leads to revolution in the streets. But the revolution in the streets, urban revolution generally doesn't work. You use it because you can be encircled and crushed.
Yeah.
Rural revolution's a much safer way to but not that I'm recommending revolution. I don't believe in violence. I believe in LSD weapons for conventional warfare.
I think that there's a time and place for violence, especially when it's in self-defense and when people's like, I mean, there are laws that is like when your livelihood is being threatened on your property by another person, then you have every legal right to defend yourself mm-hmm. by any means necessary. And who's to say when that line starts, that's when the whole like the idea of property comes into play, where people with property have more rights, the rights to kill other people because their property is being infringed upon. But people who live in the streets, people who have been forced out of their properties, who have no property because it's been taken away from them, they mm-hmm. they've lost everything in those terms, but they also have everything because they're just surviving. They're fighting for their lives. Yeah, I mean, and I feel like it's every one of their rights to fight back whenever possible.
Mm-hmm. I think they should go for the money, though, really. That's the other side's strength. So take it away from them.
Yeah.
You can take it away from the police are eminently suable for misconduct. You film them and you can win in court. It's hard to win in these courts. You got to go into federal court. You got to get in a court away from where you live.
Right.
Because this is just a soft machine here. You know, the judges rubber stamp all the police misconduct.
It's also really interesting that most police officers in Santa Cruz actually don't live in Santa Cruz. So
that's what I've heard.
They have no personal ties whatsoever to the community or safety or service. They're just like simply hired from out of town so they
hired
can have
thugs.
Like yeah. Yeah, exactly, hired thugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see what's like. I said, I'm expecting revolution here very not too long. I'm expecting the Republicans to win the next election for president. No, you probably don't believe in it, but and they'll fuck, you know, they're already trying to fuck up the economy right now with this.
We're not continue raising, whether they're elected or not.
Yeah. Yeah, and that they're kind of stupid too because they don't realize in revolution they're going to lose everything. You know, they think well we can just kill a bunch of people off and it'll be okay. But it's not the first time this happened. I mean, the same 30s were the same kind of stuff. There was revolution everywhere, and there's also a rise of right repression with like fascism and stuff. The two go hand in hand. I am expecting something similar to the Spanish Civil War in America.
I want to be in Catalonia. Wherever that'll be in America, I want to be there.
Well, I was reading where they were fighting with sticks, so I would suggest that you stockpile weapons.
Instead of sticks? You just said you're a pacifist.
Well, I mean, like, for me. I'm not talking about overthrowing the government here. Right. I think the fascists are going to overthrow the government, just like they did in Spain, and that's when the regular government turns to the poor to help us. The fascists are fucking us over now.
Yeah.
And that's when the poor get more rights and stuff, because they're government's dependent on them to defend it.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is coming. So, yeah, I wouldn't keep it in your house or anything, but bury some ammunition out in the woods or something, and you'll be glad you did. If it never happens, no biggie, you know. Get the ammunition now while you can still get it, because they'll probably start cutting that off soon. Because they're going to keep that money. They're not giving it back to us.
Never. Not if they can help it.
Yeah. More minutes.
I wanted to ask.
Yeah, go ahead.
Where did everybody end up that moved out? I probably didn't hear that part.
Cora was asking where everyone ended up at Chavez when they moved out.
Everywhere.
Pretty much. Everywhere. We did move into the Max house, and we're starting up that up. But it's going to be a while before it's actually like
Chavez 2.1.
Yeah, another like established cooperative, because a lot of work goes into like.
Yeah.
What about buying your own house as a local cooperative and just doing it yourself? Fuck.
Yeah, that's one thing that we're thinking about right now, because some of our house funds, I think, would be going to towards a development fund.
Because housing is cheap right now if you can get some money.
Yeah.
And grants. And
the largest constituency of people who stayed together were folks who moved into the Max house. And that's a really cool space, and it has like potential for everything under the sun, lots and lots of events, as well as giant industrial kitchen, huge garden, lots of green space out back, lots of parking, lots of lots of space.
Generally, where is this in Santa Cruz?
Ocean Street area.
By Denny's? I think I know who is. Mm-hmm. I think I know. I heard about that house. I know a real estate person they were talking about.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be torn down, though, and something else put in there.
Yeah.
That's what they'd like to do.
Yeah. hopefully they'll sell it, though. I don't think anybody would buy that.
Well, that's why he's going to tear it down. I mean, I know somebody is real estate for working
planning
doing
on
real estate for
it,
for the guy that's doing it. Yeah.
I
heard
that.
About it. There was like huge rooms there. And
yeah.
Giant common rooms. It used to be a restaurant. It got converted. There was also a women's rehab center, I believe, for like a small amount of time as well.
You know, this is a free land show, so my thing is about property is theft. I'm not. I'm more of a panarchist than an anarchist.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my, because most people don't really, they prefer the no government because I don't believe in them, so I'm a success. You know, they don't affect me. But when it comes to the land, you're always paying. I mean, there's nothing unless you squat, and then you got to worry about the cops and stuff. But another way to actually free up the land a little bit is to use it more intensively. Like, that's what you guys are already doing by putting more people than would normally be in a house.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting, you're using it more efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you're able to pay less rent because it's shared further. And I think that that the city of Santa Cruz doesn't like that. I think they passed that new rent ordinance or where they're checking people's properties and stuff, and I think they want to get rid of. Well, not it's just to make sure it's all up to code. They always give
right,
it a good spin.
Right, but it's inherently classist and racist.
Yeah,
because people who don't have the funds to like pay for a single bedroom apartment for them and their spouse and their kid,
it's like $1,500 now.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Have to double, triple, quadruple up in their houses or more. And yeah, mm-hmm. That's absolute bullshit. Like, people should be able to collectivize and cooperatively run whatever space they choose to. Shared equity. Like, who's to say that you can delegate out how someone uses a space? I think, I don't know.
Yeah, that was like the NASCAR or whatever. NASCAR, I'm just going to call them. They might as well be.
Right.
That whole thing, they're just micromanaging everything you do only with individual people, and it's they cut out the in-between, like you said, your in-between collective.
It's also like they, I mean, obviously they're going to get more involved when things are bad, mm-hmm. but there were only a few isolated instances where they gave a lot of resources and help.
Yeah. Well, that cost them money. I agree with you. You want to be on the air? All right, Carl, let's say I press this. And turn up. Hello? Can you hear me, caller? Which one is
Hey, it? Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yep. We can hear you.
Loud and clear?
Oh, okay. I was just appreciating what you were talking about right there. And essentially, no one, nothing gives any entity really the right to make building codes and things like that. And I really don't think that's. I think as long as information is freely shared and people can be encouraged to experiment with different ways of building dwellings, essentially, I don't think there needs to be, doesn't need to be over-regulated. I think it's definitely more of a control thing. And like my stepdad built his own like house and various buildings up on this mountaintop that is his land outside of Fresno. And I know it didn't go by any certain codes or anything, and he built it out of recyclable materials, extra materials from a lot of the construction sites that he would be working at. And I'm sure if the authorities went up there, they would probably find reasons to tear the vast Absolutely. Majority of it down, yeah. You know, and yeah, that wouldn't be right.
Are you calling from L.A.? Your voice sounds familiar.
Yeah, I'm down here in L.A.
You used to be a DJ
listening
here, right?
Over the internet.
You used to be a DJ here, right?
Yeah, we had, I was there with DJ JG Wiz on Technical Difficulties. It was on Sunday nights for...
You're DJ Embro or something?
Yeah, DJ Matter Embryo. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, cool. I remember last time I talked to you, you were quite upset about some environmental issues down in L.A. or something in the desert.
Oh, okay, yeah, I think I was... What was I worried about then? I think it was the degradation of some of those border lands, those desert lands that are kind of have various problems. You know, I think that's probably what I was up in arms about. Yeah. What's bothering me right now are the secret prisons.
Secret
no,
prisons?
I mean I'm not kidding, but it's there's yeah. Just a
How
very
do you feel about smart meters?
About what? I'm sorry.
Smart meters? PG&E smart what? Meters? You getting them down? I guess you're not. LA doesn't really have PG&E, huh? They have their own.
Well, yeah, I guess it's Southern California Edison. The thing is, I guess it's no, we do pay for that separately. Now that it kind of blurs in my mind, but yeah, we pay for all that. I think it's through Edison. I think we get water and power from the same entity, essentially. You know, so yeah.
So you don't have smart meters down there. Lucky you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's you know the problems down here are pretty well documented, I suppose. There's many of them, but we're talking about this Carmageddon thing where a major freeway was going to be shut down for a small amount of time. But, you know, yeah, the joke about that is, like, the Carmageddon is every day, you know, and that's what was... And it is really irritating, like, the general media down here is just... It is pretty terrible, much as it would be in any place, but they aggressively don't view it that way. You know, that was, like, just a specific isolated event of traffic problem, you know, so... Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't have cars. It's killing the world. Mm.
Yeah, I agree. Really an unneeded convenience. Things mm-hmm. could be organized very, very differently. I've never driven a car, and I may get the, train myself to do that so I can actually do it, you know, in a pinch or whatever. But, yeah, I don't see a future of of cars or driving cars. I think if everything were just very much scaled back, decentralized and really scaled back in technology, and I certainly, it's a very complicated subject. I don't pretend to have any final answers about it, but it is sad to not see things going that way toward a more like nonviolent, decentralized, kind of low-tech way of doing things on a variety of levels. Or if we were even trying in that direction, I would feel more hopeful. And I don't feel completely, you know, hopefully none of us feel completely hopeless, but it is a little worrisome to see, well, we see things going in that direction.
We saw a problem here at Chavez because they had a central overseer that, you know, screwed them out of their autonomy.
You know, I haven't been following that, and it's actually very, it's cool to hear you talking about very specific Santa Cruz issues that I am sort of out of touch with, or pretty darn out of touch with, because I've been, haven't lived there for a while, but, so did that collective house was shut down?
Yeah, they're trying to sell it now. They change the locks so no one can squat.
Because
there were a lot of anarchists there. Are you an anarchist?
Well, you know, of sorts, I suppose. Definitely inspired more by, like, you know, communism, socialism, anarchism, all of that whole world of that kind of thought, I suppose. And definitely have a feeling that what I believe is communism, socialism, has essentially not been tried other than in very limited times before it was counter-revolutioned upon or whatever the different historical things that have happened, but a precious too few times. So I don't feel any of that's really been discredited either. I just think it needs to be not too top-down, obviously, and not at all dictatorial, but I think there can be a really healthy meshing between anarchist ideas and what are looked at as communist or socialist ideas.
Well, I'm on SSI now for my disability, so socialism has been very good to me.
Yeah, you know,
well,
I'm
not
on disability,
that good. I don't get that much money.
Well, yeah, no, it's interesting. We're in the same boat as far as income. I'm in disability, too, and I hope that it will be temporary, but I just don't know that. So it's scary. It's scary in a different way. I mean, to this new budget and the rightward drift of how things are going.
Yeah, it's going to go further. We were talking about that, yeah.
Also, I just heard that things like general assistance that go along with, you know, electronic benefit transfer cards, are actually loans.
Yeah,
so
I tried.
The GA is actually like simply a loan.
Yeah, I tried to get that. It's and they subtract your food stamps from that. But I just need to keep my storage unit going. I would just starve. But people loaned me money, and I was able to do it. But yeah, welfare is hard to get on. It's hardly any. It's like only $200.
And you're just like locking yourself into the system.
It's not much money if you're unless you're housed, you get a little more money if you're housed. But if you're not housed, they only give you like $200, $140, and it's a loan. You're supposed to pay it back.
Yeah,
whereas
which is
food stamps are relatively easy to get on.
You can extremely easy.
You can get up to $1,100 a month and still qualify for that if you're not on SSI.
And it shouldn't be about even the thought of qualifying for it. Or people will say, well, I paid into it or this and that. What, are they going to like make someone with Down syndrome have the concept of paying into the system to see that they're fed by society? Like, what do we really come to, man? It's just a really petty, kind of sad reality. And in my case, I definitely worked like a good worker bee for 20 years and until I got an illness or whatever that, you know, probably couldn't have been helped or whatever. So it's not like... In other words, I mean, okay, I paid into it, but I just reject that. I think that's a bullshit way to think about it,
I
have, you know?
I would rather get a job. There's more money getting a job, and then I used to feel bad. I didn't really want to take charity, but in the end, you know, this is, you take this money, that's less money they can spend killing kids overseas, you know, in war.
Oh, man, and the willful poisoning of people, I mean, there's no point in just being ceaselessly negative about it, but these were decisions largely made before any of us were born. A planned decision to increase illness and death for profits. Basically, when you look through it, and now, man, like, because I'm trying to get better from cancer, and now I really know the true toll that it can take, and it's a sad reality that anybody would risk that or do that. You know, the whole thing with nuclear power, it's beyond reckless, and it's just something that it needs to end just from a humane perspective of just for, you know, obviously for the children and just for the future of life. I mean, like Helen Caldicott talks about, she seems really dead on, you know, with that viewpoint of just we need to purify ourselves from those kind of concerns as a species.
Well, the only way that the humane way of living is going to actually propagate again is if humanity itself actually does something about it, because there's no way that the state structure or authority will ever do anything but maximize profits.
That's true. it's true, we've got to do it for ourselves. And yeah. Keep hope, for sure. It's not like it, we could be before a very major turn in the way things are looked at. Like you were talking about, like basically class warfare. Mm. And I hope it doesn't have to be violent, but that's definitely better. Like, I don't know if you saw the movie Gasland, but they're like, you know, these industries slowly poisoning people. And I was thinking, this is the classic time. Mm-hmm. Where some of these cowboys out there, literal, you know, kind of cowboy-type people who they were slowly poisoning through this well poisoning from fracking, I was thinking you would be fucking justified, as pacifist as I feel about most things, mm-hmm. if these guys got together an old-fashioned posse and said, we're going to get these fucking these fucking crews off our damn land, and yep. if somebody has to die here, that's just how it goes, man. It's how it fucking goes.
And then again, they're just hired. It's really like the Rockefellers are really behind it, or DuPont.
No, you're right. You're right. And honestly, it's sad enough to have to think that way, but I was thinking the true targets could be legitimately targeted too, man. And that movie to me is powerful because it's showing the human side of them slowly poisoning somebody. That to me is just as much murder as something else.
Right.
And
self-defense.
I'm not saying like vigilantism is the answer, but does the thought come to mind? Of course it does. It has to. You know, it has to. If you have any kind of heart, you know, about the situation.
Yeah. Another thing you were saying about remaining hopeful in a hopeless situation, you know, it comes down to individual hope and your individual choices to make your, like, your very existence is political, so every day is like a choice to, like, remain a part of the authority structure and a part of the wage slavery structure mm-hmm. and the rent structure and
yep.
And though, okay. like, your choices may seem so insignificant, they are, like, freeing your mind, and they also provide example for other people of what they're capable of. And enough people do that, then you've got, like, widespread, like, unchaining of a lot of systems of oppression.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. And our decisions, even though they may seem small, are all important, because that's really all that you can directly affect. It's,
right.
Every person is very significant, and every person matters a huge amount. It doesn't have to do with whether, you know, they're well-known. You know, like, I mm-hmm. see certain shows on the left even feed into that. Like, it's cool that they want to have the hour to talk with Billy Bragg on Democracy Now! Or whatever, but since when do they do, like, a patchwork quilt of all, like, so many different extremely talented, unknown artists mm-hmm. who've been struggling on the edges for year upon year? That's where, like, even the left kind of feeds into some very unhealthy aspects of our celebrity culture. It's like, you know, all this legendary shit. Who is legendary? But they shouldn't even be legendary even after they've died. But it's just cheesy to call somebody that when they're still alive. The legendary Billy Bragg, the legendary Johnny Cash. What is this kind of shit? You know what I mean?
Well, Democracy Now! is moderate. It's not really radical, so they are kind of part of the system.
I love Billy Bragg. It's nothing against him.
I play him all
like
the time.
Talking
yeah.
about him that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a little sad. But
well, thanks for calling,
because,
yeah, we got another show coming on here, so we got to get out of here. I think we want to come back next week?
Yeah, I'll come back next week.
Hey, thanks so much for your show.
All right. We're
going to
be a
little
earlier next, probably 8 o'clock okay. next week.
Yeah, I'll try and make it in.
And we also have news between 6 and 7. Is it coming in any news? You can just come in and
spit
any
some
events,
new news.
Or, you know, call it in or just come in. You know
keep
where
my
it is.
Ear to the ground.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you. Cheers. Have a great night, you guys. Thank you so much.
Bye.
You too.
All righty, this has been the Free the Land show. We're about to play It's a Small World, a download from Mauro up in Shasta. He does a lot of work on chemtrails and clear cutting.
All kinds of environmental stuff.
Cool.
Arctic. Monsanto.
Which one is it? Where is it, Coral?
It should be like 199.
The Falcon? No, that's not it.
It's Ocean.
I don't see it. You want to click it? I don't see it, Cole.
SWR. It just
says
SWR.
$199. Oh, I put some stuff in, so it's gone up a little. Oh, there it is. All right. Never mind. I am blind, after all. That's how I get that disability. Is it? Oh, I gotta hit unpause. You see how bad I am? Anyone could do this. We're always looking for new GJs at Free Radio Santa Cruz.
You could call your
show Velvet Goldmine.
Velvet Goldmine.
I know you can't see it, listener, but I'm wearing entirely velvet. Can you hear
under
the velvet?
My voice.
Hi, I'm Rising Moon. This is the Ocean Show. You're listening to Small World Radio.
It's a small world.
Thousands of fish are dead at the mouth of a shipping channel, as well as a dead whale that was reported in Venice today. The species include crabs, stingrays, eel, drum, speckled trout, and redfish. The video you're about to see is not a gravel road.